It's time for Dayton Women's Flyers Basketball on Information Radio 1660. We thank Archer's Tavern for their support in bringing this game to you today. Now down to the arena with Barney Centner and Dennis Shaw.
It's time for the Archer's Tavern pregame with Barney Centner and Dennis Shaw. Now let's get down to the arena for today's pregame show.
And a pleasant good morning, everyone, from UD Arena. You can hear the pep band in the background. It is the last home game of the year for the Flyers. It's Senior Day. The seniors will be honored after the game. That's too loud. That's way too loud. There you go. Where was I? So you can turn me up a little bit, if you would. Live radio, there's nothing like it, folks. Anyway, Senior Day. It's also Alumni Day. There'll be 38 alumni who will be introduced at halftime, and I will give you a complete list of those later on. The Flyers are taking on Rhode Island. Rhode Island comes into this game 17-13, 9-8 in the A-10. Rhode Island comes off a rough game, losing at home when they honored four seniors Wednesday night. They lost that game to VCU 69-59, a game in which Dee Dee Davis led them with 23 points. She went an impressive 10 of 13 from the free throw line. And Sophie Phillips, who is a three-point marksman, well, let's just say she really missed the target Wednesday night. She was 0 of 6, and she did not score in that game whatsoever. Meanwhile, for the Flyers, they lost a close game at Loyola Sunday, and then not-so-close game Wednesday, losing at George Mason. The final score was 78-53. A game in which started slowly for both teams. It was scoreless 3.5 minutes in. George Mason led the game 10-6 at the end of the first, and then they blew it open from there. The lone bright spot for Dayton in that game, Ivy Wolf had 18 points, including 4 3-pointers. She was the only one in double figures. As for Rhode Island, they went 26-7 last year. They went 14-2 in the A-10. They made the Super 16, the WNIT. They beat the Flyers last year for the first time ever. Boy, did they do it. 81-57, a game in which they led by 29 points at the half. Mariah Perez had 20 points in that game. Just to show you how good Rhode Island was, they shot 52% from the field, and they clobbered the Flyers on the boards 41-32. This year they went 8-5 in non-conference, and in conference, their big win was 2 points over George Mason. Now, they have absorbed close losses in the league this year. We'll hear Tammy Reese address that momentarily. They lost by 5 to Loyola, by 4 to Richmond, by 3 to St. Joe, by 3 to St. Louis, and they lost by 5 to St. Joe. The all-time series, again, the Flyers lead that quite comfortably. Now, as for Tammy Reese, last year, the A-10 Coach of the Year, previously was an assistant at Syracuse. Before that was at Cal State Fullerton and San Diego State. In her playing career at Virginia over 4 years, she was a starter and had 1,842 points, played 2 years in the WNBA. She has an overall record at Rhode Island of 89 wins and 50 losses. Before she arrived, well, they were in the basement. They went 17-71 the three previous years. One of their assistants is familiar to Dayton, Adney Amadou, 4 years on Jim Jaber's staff in the early 2010s. There's another connection, Kalisha Keene, the Flyers' assistant. Her sister is on the Rhode Island staff. Tukimu Keene is, again, on the Rhode Island staff. Their roster, Rhode Island, they feature 6 players from France. All right. So, I've given you some information. Our officials, when we get underway, will be Timothy Bryan, Jennifer Washoe, and Jessia Painter. But right now, let us hear our pregame interviews. We will start with Tammy Reese.
All right, Tammy Reese is going to join me now. So, first of all, this is what I'm most excited to ask you about, because obviously, Tenen Magasa was here. She went to you guys. Last year, she wasn't completely healthy. From what I've seen, she's starting. Give us an update on her. It seems like she's healthy now.
Tennant feels a lot better. She's a lot healthier than she's been all year long. Tennant always battles injuries. She has bad knees, her shoulder, but, you know, she is healthy. She won't be starting tonight, but she did start on senior night. And she gives us the size we need off the bench to match up with Dayton.
And she's out of eligibility, right? You can't negotiate another year for her?
Actually, she does have another year.
Oh, okay.
She does. Now, I'm not sure if she's going to take it or not. You know, we wait to really talk to our kids till after the season. With her injuries, you know, she's looking, she might go pro and at least get a couple years. The longer she stays in college, the more that body gets beat up, the less likely she has of a longer pro career. So it's really up to Tennant, and I always leave it up to our student-athletes as to whether they want to come back and what's best for them. Really.
Okay, so the VCU game, sorry, but to have to bring that up. Is that just one of those games you just don't, you throw out? I mean, like, Sophia Phillips can't hit anything. It's a fluke. Looks like you guys had good shots. They just didn't go down all day.
You know, no, I wouldn't say it was a fluke. I'd say VCU's a very good defensive team. They're one of the best in the league, and they caused us to not be able to make shots. You know, they were very physical with Sophie, but you know, we're still trying to put our pieces together. When we come together, it's like we can play good for one quarter, but not four quarters yet. So we're trying to find that consistency and discipline every game in order to beat the better teams in the league. And we've struggled with that all year, is consistency and discipline. So, you know, tonight we're looking to come out and, again, focus on getting better heading into the tournament. But it's got to start with discipline and consistency.
I was going to say, it looks like you've had a lot of games where just you haven't been able to finish. You've lost like a flurry of games by 3, 4, and 5 this year. Does that just come down to not making the play at the end?
No, it comes down to the whole game. Again, the games we cut to 3, 4, and 5 or 2, it's we didn't play for 3 quarters. And then all of a sudden we make a 4th quarter flurry. It's happened like 4 times, down 12. And then we cut it, we tie it up. And then you just can't make the plays at the end. But we put ourselves in some holes in the beginning of game. So, again, we have to play 40 minutes, not decide, the last quarter we're gonna come on like gangbusters. So it's really just putting together a full 40 minutes of consistency and discipline of what we do.
Finally, going up against the Dayton team, they're a very good rebounding team, but so are you. I can't wait to see what happens in the middle because they're going to throw a couple of 6'4". Ladies out there.
Yes, you know, that's the one thing that is going to be a challenge for us is boxing out. It's been our Achilles heel all year long. Hit and hold and keep them off the boards. And Dayton is very physical. They have great size. And physicality has posed some problems for us. So we're going to have to be ready to rebound. It's going to be the war of rebounding today. That wins the game.
Back to courtside. I hope you feel better.
Thank you so much.
Get some rest before the tournament.
All right.
Because then you're there for days and days and days.
Yes, good seeing you.
And from what I've seen now, especially with the Davidson thing, this might be a rematch Thursday.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, you never know what can happen. And you don't know seeding till tonight.
Yes.
It's a big cluster. So.
Well, now that Davidson's not playing at St. Louis tonight, you'll know seeding at about 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Which helps.
Yeah, we'll see.
Tamika Williams-Jetter joins me now. And I want to start with the breaking news of last night and get your reaction because you kind of went through this last year. I'm watching the UD men's game, which was depressing enough. And then they kept showing on the bottom of the screen about the Davidson women basically canceling their season. They tried to play. Well, they did play game Wednesday, and they lost it to George Washington. What was your reaction when you heard that news?
I mean, from where that team was and you know, going through taking over a program, and she's built it up to the best it's ever been. And we had to play them early when they were thumping and beating Duke and beating Wake Forest and probably should have beat North Carolina and thumping through non-conference and getting there in full power to not finishing a season. It might be one of the most devastating blows you could take to a program and to a coach and coaching staff and players that have to go through that where they see themselves being in probably the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's how good they were starting the season and definitely going to make a big impact in conference play. And little by little have those type of injuries happen that often, so much so that you have to call the season. It's just devastating.
All right, I think we've pretty much covered that. Okay, so if I'm with the FBI, I get out my little note card here. Do you remember where you were on the night of February 20th, 2002?
February 20th, 2002. Probably, I don't know when we play tournament, but either senior night or...
Bingo, you hit it. That was the last regular season game. And it was against Providence.
Okay.
And obviously in a undefeated season, you won 106-41.
Good game.
And then you wound up playing actually in the tournament against Iowa and won 86-48. Caleb Clark was not there yet.
Yeah.
But what do you remember about that emotionally on your senior night?
Other than the thumping? I remember Mom... parents being interviewed, and I remember Rebecca Lobo was interviewing them, and she asked my mom, like, how has it been? You know, my dad was the talker, my mom not so much, and they hand the camera over to her, I mean, hand the mic over to her, and I can't remember what she did. She said something wrong. I can't remember what she said or whatever, and my dad takes the camera, the microphone in front of her. But for me, it wasn't really about being a senior. Back then, you got to play more games home, so it wasn't my last game. And in Connecticut back then, you kind of, you know, you could play at home. So it wasn't about that. It was more so about my parents. That's what I remember most about that and graduation and then being drafted. Those particular moments where you kind of like you left your body and you start to think about the CYO tournaments and the MAC championships that they would be running to and the time and the love and the money, you know, to send all of us to private schools, private Catholic schools. And you start to think about your parents because they're the ones who are crying. We didn't cry. I don't think any of us cried. I think Swin fake cried for a second just because she felt bad for the fans. When you're in that mode of winning and trying to chase a championship and it was an undefeated season, you know, those scores tell a story of kind of where our mentality was. And it wasn't about senior night for us. I think senior night was about our parents and laughing at them. And they might drink a little bit too much, you know, or not drink. My parents didn't drink and had a sip. So for in those moments, it was about my parents.
Do you remember, did you guys have the ceremony before the game or after the game?
I remember before the game. We came out, and it was just a quick jersey. Coach doesn't do much. I think there were flowers to the moms and jerseys. You hug coach, you know. Just a guy I hugged every day, so it was nothing new. But for us, we were like, we're not crying. I remember we made like a pact. I knew I wasn't going to cry. And it was just like, we got more to do, you know. So I don't know why that moment, it should be cherished. It should be... a space where you kind of embrace and cry. But for us, everything was about winning a championship.
Well, you're going to have it after this game, and you're going to have four young ladies all in the starting lineup who have made a lot of contributions. We know Mariah cannot come back, and the others may, but what do you think your emotions are going to be when that ceremony starts?
You know, there's a lot with the ones who came on. We have two that came here. You know, I get the job late March and April, and you're in the portal, and that's when the portal first starts to, you know, get going that year, and we have no bodies, you know, four on the roster, and we got to get bodies. And so for Ty and Anissa Jones just taking a chance of coming to a space unknown and not really knowing what's going on and taking a chance on us and being loyal to that for 2 years, and then for Destiny and Mariah, two kids who stayed and are completely dedicated to University of Dayton and to our athletic department and trying to move this thing forward, have been great for me from a leadership standpoint, and knowing, you know, they had been in a gym and been a part of a team that had won a lot of programs. So I'm forever dedicated, and to them, those four, and I think that's what would move me the most, and how much growth they had in 2 years.
Well, I appreciate the conversation. We're not going to talk after the game because of the ceremony, but I appreciate our conversations. I know after the game some of our conversations have been difficult, but you've been here and you've been honest, and I thank you for the season.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, back to courtside.
All right.
All right, so we're about a minute and a half away from the buzzer and the starting lineup and the national anthem, and every time I talk, the band just revs it up. The correction, the Flyers lead this all-time series 27-5, so I want to give Rhode Island credit for more than winning one game. All right, so that is our pregame. We're going to break, and we'll come back, and we will get the starting lineups, and we'll bring in a voice, well, that we really haven't heard for a while, but we'll figure it out. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the pregame program brought to you by Archer's Tavern. Now let's head back to UD Arena with the play-by-play with Barney Sentner and color by Dennis Shaw.
All right, so yeah, Dennis Shaw's actually here. I don't have to come on and give a disclaimer that he's not. So you got a minute. Go ahead.
Well, I've been out injured. It's nice to be back. this has been a tough season. That's not why I haven't been here. I've been watching. I've been listening. It's going to be an interesting game here today. I was going to actually be here a couple weeks ago when the game got canceled against Davidson. And once that happened, it was much easier in my schedule to do this game. So we made a choice, and I'm happy to be here. But I'm excited for this game, Barney. I'd like to see Dayton end on a good note. As you said, you know, right at the end of your interview there with Tamika, it's been tough. You know, they knew last year, this year was going to be tough. But things are progressing within this program. They're going to get better. We're getting ready to do the national anthem, so it's going to cut me off right away.
That guy's got a guitar.
Yeah, no, it's really good. So we'll put a pause on this, and I'll be back.
Parts of it I didn't even recognize, but we'll let that go. Anyway, go ahead. You were saying something. I don't know what.
Well, recipe for an upset. That's what I was getting ready to talk about.
An upset.
Yeah, Rhode Island.
How about Sophie Phillips going 0-for-8 from 3-point stripe tonight? That would help.
Well, she's part of why I think Dayton could win this game. Rhode Island's obviously going to be favored here today. Dayton's been struggling, but as typical with college teams, Flyers are better at home, 7-6 at home. Rams are 5-8 on the road, so they don't play very well on the road. Last two games for Rhode Island really has been the way to beat them. Pack it in the paint, make it tough inside, don't let them crush you on the rebounds, and really, if you can defend Sophie Phillips on the three-point line, you have a chance because the rest of the team doesn't shoot really well from the three-point line.
She takes 44% of her team's threes. That's about 8 a game. Only 3 people have taken more nationally than her. She's taken 234. By reference, Caitlin Clark of Iowa has taken 395.
Yeah, no, I when I looked at her numbers, like, and you nailed it, the next 3 Rhode Island players combined don't even touch it. They're 21 three-point attempts less than her. So defend her on the three-point line, force everything else outside of the paint, and then you have a chance because this Rhode Island team, they pound you inside, and that's where they get a lot of their production. And Dayton does match up well with them, so I think they've got a shot here, Barney. It's going to be a fun one.
All right, so here are the lineups. Rhode Island comes in 17-13. They score 64 a game and give up 57. They average 13.4 assists. They only turn it over 14.7 times a game. We know where Dayton is. We'll get to that in a moment. They're plus 6 on the boards. And they are coming out with Sophie Phillips, the 6-foot junior, who averages 11.3 points per game from Cambridge Central School in Greenwich, New York. They also come out with Tashia Hyman. She's back from injury. She missed about 3 games not too long ago. She is a 5'8 grad student. She averages 11.5 points per game. She is a transfer from Syracuse Woodlands High School in White Plains, New York. Maya Touré, 6'2 senior. She averages 13 points a game. She's from France, from Lycée-Alain Fournier High School. And then we have Dee Dee Davis, the 5'8 grad student. She averages 11 points a game. Transfer from Manhattan.
Truman High School out of the Bronx, New York. And their fifth starter is...
They don't have him listed yet.
Somebody. We'll have to get it because Tendon Magas is not starting and they're not listing him yet. So we'll move on to the Flyer lineups and I'll backtrack. Oh, by the way, Rhode Island outscored their opponents by 26 in the first, 62 in the second. Dennis, beware. You have the third quarter. Rhode Island has outscored their opponents by 102. No pressure. And they've outscored their opponents by 21 in the fourth. It's just hard to believe they have the record that they do when they've outscored their opponents by that margin in every game this year. It just doesn't make sense. As for the Flyers, 11-17. They score 64. They give up 69 a game. Plus 8 on rebounds. 13 assists. But 18.5 turnovers is what they average. And they've been making a lot, like 6, 7, 8 turnovers in the first quarter in every game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not helping their cause. Okay. Again, they're coming out with the senior type, Kozlova. She averages 2 points a game. They're coming out with Anissa Jones. She averages 8.6. They're coming out with Ivy Wolf. She is the leading scorer at 12 points a game. Amariah Perez averaging 7. And Destiny Bohannon averaging 10.2. This is another stat. I don't want to harp on the turnovers, but this is a problem. Of everybody who plays, Ivy Wolf is the only player who is plus category of assists to turnovers. It's only by 6. And frankly, she's not even a point guard, which they're going to need next year. So we talked about the keys to the game. Every game can say the same thing for a team. Can't give away the turnovers. Especially not the dead ball turnovers, but the live ball turnovers that go the other way for points. All right. We'll get the other... By the way, if anybody in Rhode Island area is listening, we welcome you to our broadcast today. We can now call it this afternoon. And we will be getting underway. A big impact with Davidson bowing out of the A-10 tournament. It has major implications for matchups. I'm not going to get into it now, but I will get into it. It's a little bit complicated. It took me like a half an hour last night with a Ouija board to figure it out. Rhode Island is in the road uniforms, all blue, trimmed in white. Flyers, of course, road uniforms, white, trimmed in red. And they are starting, I think they're starting Anise Dubras. Yes, they are. So she is starting. She's a 5'9 sophomore. She has just 3.5 points a game. I talked about assist to turnover ratio, and I never did figure out why she doesn't ever start. She has 94 assists and 40 turnovers on the year. So makes sense to start her. And she's averaging, again, only 3.5 points a game, but that's not her responsibility. Anything more you want to add?
Well, the only thing else I'll add, Barney, is last game of the year, we got home game here. I mean, not last game of the year, but last home game, the senior night. You have a lot of players here, and we're going to get into that. You're going to be able to talk about all the people from the program that are here today. So I'd like to see the effort. Like you said, in the several games this year, they just come out and have not looked sharp. You want to see them come out and not dig themselves a hole. Come out, show what this Dayton program is about. Show that effort. You know, Tamika is such a good coach, and she is unlimited effort. So you want to see that kind of play out on the court. So I'm very interested in the first few minutes here to see if Dayton can kind of hold their own, weather the storm at the beginning with the motions kind of going a little bit, and that way they don't dig themselves a little bit too big of a hole.
So Perez is ready to jump it up against Turay. And we might have to get maintenance over here because our monitor is just fizzing out on us. Otherwise, we won't be able to give you any stats. But we are ready to go. There's the buzzer, so let's get underway with this one. Rhode Island will go to our left. Flyers will go to our right. And I will be so happy when the music stops, believe me. And here we go. Ball in the air, and Turay easily wins it. She back taps it. Oh, it turns out Dutat. Unel Dutat is starting, 6-foot sophomore, averages 5 points a game. I'll get my act together on this. Dee Dee Davis throws it to Turay. Turay's on the left baseline. Now a little push-off. She forces it up over Perez. Banks up, can't get it. But Dutat is able to get the rebound. And Phillips, head fake, 3, missed it, left side. She's missed her last 7. Dee Dee Davis, weak side rebound. Rhode Island gets opportunity number 3. Flyers in 1-3-1. Here is penetration for Dubras, and she banks it in. Last thing you can do is give up 3 offensive possessions. Rhode Island presses in the backcourt, and it's knocked out of bounds on an overplay by D.D. Davis on Anissa Jones. Rhode Island, they went up-tempo this thing. They're pressuring the backcourt again. And the ball's bounced into Ivy Wolf. She has Dubois right on her, gets it front court to Anissa Jones. So Flyers have their first offensive possession of the game. Ivy Wolf pulse play two. We'll see what that is. Wolf gives it off on the weaving offense to Destiny Bohan. Now it is the three by Ty Kozlov. It's off the mark. Too long. He said that she was going to shoot a three right away. She did. Here comes D.V. Davis, and Kozlova got a piece of it, but it comes to Ture. Ture had fake, turnaround, shot over Perez, can't get it to go. Almost another offensive rebound for Rhode Island. Instead, Anissa Jones knocks it out of bounds. Boy, Rhode Island's hitting the boards early in this game and fast. And the Flyers normally out-rebound everybody they play. That may be a challenge today as Sophie Phillips throws it in. Loops it into Dubras in front of the UD bench. Here's Phillips. She will drive the lane on Kozlova. Double team. And right off to an open terrain. She puts it in. 4-0. This is not the start you were asking for. Backcourt pressure on Ivy Wolf. Tie us up court. Yeah, I could see that being a turnover, and it is. Dutat. And she turns it right over to Anissa Jones, who slips and falls, and the ball goes out of bounds to Rhode Island. And immediately, I think we're going to get Nylier in for Ty Kozlova or not. In for
Anissa Jones.
Anissa Jones. So Nylier averages 4 points a game. So the ball is getting ready for Dutat to throw it in. Does so to Touré, banks it off sloppily, and it doesn't hit anything other than the backboard. Ty Kozlova has the rebound. Up to Nylier. Here, crossover dribble. Open three ball hand on left side. Air ball. Saved in. I'm not really sure why D.D. Davis did that, but she did. And Rhode Island in transition tries to build on a 4-0 lead. And we are going the other way. Do we have Touré fouling underneath? It's always, I said this before, it's always the player who's on the ground who gets the foul. And Maya Touré picks up the first foul. And so far, the Flyers have no offensive continuity in this game, and I think they are being bugged by the full court press, which they're going to see right now. Bohannon into Nylier. Lear, and this time the press backs off, so Perez has it front court. Almost got fouled by Davis, going for the steal, but Perez has it between the circles, 20 on the shot. Over to Wolf. Now underneath Perez post. Perez in the lane, short. Rebound loose. Comes to D.D. Davis. 2 minutes into the game, Dayton hasn't scored. This is reminiscent of the game at Mason. Wheeler will come in a moment. D.D. Davis drives. She draws the foul, and she was out of control. What did Dayton do there? They bailed her out with the foul on Nylier. So here comes Shannon Wheeler, who averages 5 a game, and she will replace Ty Kozlova. So a couple free throws coming up here for D.D. Davis. Very impressive. I told you she was from Manhattan. She was there 4 years. She had a 37-point game against Siena, along with 11 rebounds. 2 years, she was all-conference first team. She finished with 1,401 points at Manhattan. The free throw's good. She had 91 starts. This year, her season high is 21 against Princeton. She's only 62% at the line, but she hit the first. The Rams, as a team, are only 66% at the line. She can make it 6-0, and she does. And I wouldn't be waiting too much longer to call timeout if this keeps up like this. So Wolf again is double-teamed in the backcourt to Wheeler. Got to get it across with 2 seconds to spare. Wheeler is double-teamed. Wheeler's on the baseline, and we have a reach foul on Dubras, her first team second. Are they called on Dutat, I think? They were both in the area. Another substitution. Here is our former Flyer. We called her T, but we'll call her Tena Nagasa. She is into the game. 6'5 senior, averages 7.4 points per game. Had a mere 113 blocks at UD. Has 183 career blocks going into today. Fumbled by Perez. Comes up to Dubras. She's 1-on-2, so she'll back it out. Phillips back over Dubras. Give her the open three. Bang. Stop the bleeding. 5 points for her. 7:27 to go, first quarter. 9-0 Rhode Island. So we want to thank our underwriters for sticking with us this year. It's been rough. And the underwriters include Fat Boys Dayton, El Rancho Grande, Dayton Art Solutions, Coin Dentistry, Bob Ross Auto Group, Bill's Donut Shop, Arrow Wine and Spirits, ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Hothead Burritos, Archer's Tavern, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Demnikas Italian Restaurant, Kettering Overhead Door, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Manny Valcuno Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Rotor Shoe Center, The Flower Shop, Cinerama, USA Tavern Auto Service Center. All right, they're going to introduce all these 11 halftime. I'm going to give you the list, not all of them now, but what I can, and I'll tell you the graduating classes. We have Leah Abla from 1985. She had 1,099 career points. Mandy Albers from 2002. She's a first-grade teacher at Minster. Miriam Andrews, class of 67. She's been a teacher in the Beaver Creek schools for 54 years. Kelly Austria, we remember her from Beaver Creek area. 2017 class, 1,197 points. Emily Bruns, class of 69. Mary Byers Becker from 1986. Lori Cahill from 85. Angela Kate from 2006. Desiree Chambers, now goes by Desiree Chambers Perry from 2012. Ellen Collins from 1969. Sharon Curd Watson from 1985. Amari Davidson from 2002. Cheryl Dickerson Curry from 1986. Cindy Frericks from 1990. Ginny Green from 1969. Fran Hageman from, I don't know, I couldn't find out what year. A late addition, Corky Andrews. Again, I apologize, I don't have her year. Actually, I can keep going on this because I don't think we really want to talk about the game. Victoria Jones from 2001. Louise Jones from 1994. Emily Capel from 2005. Rhonda Cletty from 1986. Sam McKay from 2013. Best passing point guard I've ever seen here in 21 years. Allie McCarthy. Who? Allie Malott. That was her name. She's, of course, the aquatic director at the YMCA in Middletown. Class of 2015, number 7 all-time in scoring, 1,504 points, and she is in the University of Dayton Hall of Fame. Kayla Moses, 2012. I'll stop now and finish it up at the next timeout. In the meantime, Flyers are losing 9-0. And they have been out-rebounded 7-1. Rhode Island is at 3 of 8. The Flyers have not hit any shots yet. Obviously, they're 0 of 3. Shannon Wheeler can change that. She goes to the double team coverage. She might have gotten fouled by Mangasa, who reached in. The officials are determining who may want that foul to go on. And I think they've got Tisha Hyman. No, they do have Mangasa. So T picks up a foul. 7-18. Nylier into Wolf. Ivy guarded by Dubras. Ivy outside the three. Gets a return feed from Wheeler. Ivy over to Nylier. 10 on the shot. Lear underneath for Perez. Fumbles it. Now works on Mangasa. Up over her, and T got a piece of that one that might be blocked on number 184. Two Rhode Island subs coming in a moment. 3 minutes into the game, Dayton has been shut out. Mangasa has it at the top of the key. Over to Phillips. So Phillips drives on Nylier. Now backs off with 15 on the shot. D.D. Davis guarded it by Wheeler. D.D. trying to take Wheeler to task. Shoots it up over her and in and out. And the ball is batted around. And Ivy Wolf got it and she got fouled by Dutton. Her second foul. Rhode Island brings Tisha Hyman in, replacing Dutat. And they also bring somebody else in. Kamara is in, the 6-foot sophomore who averages a point and a half a game. Ahu Kamara. Backcourt is Wolf. Dayton still being shut out. 6.5 minutes to go, first quarter. Nice fake out. Lear missed the shot. Rebound for Kamara. And Rhode Island looks to break. With the basketball, Kamara dumps it, tries to dump it for Mangasa. And even though T is 6'5", that pass is about 6'8", went over her head. Comes to Ivy Wolf. They get it to Ariana Smith, who's in the lineup for Dayton. Averages 9.6 points and 11 rebounds a game. Wolf missed a three from the right side, and the frustrations continue. And Wolf tries to draw the charge, but they give her a block
as Dubois barreled over her. Ivy's first foul, team second. You want to analyze this?
It's about a nightmarish start that you could imagine. Turn the ball over, getting out rebounded, 10-2 to start. You know, that's a lot of hustle and a lot of effort that you're not seeing from the Flyers early on. Four offensive rebounds already for Rhode Island.
We saw it on the first possession of the game when they got two offensive rebounds and had three possessions. So we're going to see if this team is going to, meaning Dayton, if they're going to start dropping their heads. Because if they do that, it'll really be an ugly afternoon. They want to post Magaza, but they don't. Instead, it's Dubras. Bounce pass. Now Magaza has it out of traffic. Back over to Dubras. 12 to shoot. Rhode Island up by 9. They're pitching a shutout. 4-plus minutes into the game. Here's a bounce pass for Magaza. And
3 seconds.
She tamped out the lane too long. Yeah. A little bit of anger come out of her mouth. I don't know if she was using French. I can read lips.
I was say, you're the one that knows it.
Yeah, I think I know what you said. If I say it now, well, Norma loses license. Okay, so let's see if Dayton can score here. Niall Lear is double-teamed right in front of us. She gets the ball off to Wolf. Wolf, a cross-court bullet pass. Three for Anissa Jones. Doesn't come. Rebound loose, and it comes down to the hands of Tisha Hyman. Hyman fumbles the ball. She wants to go full court, but instead kicks it out to DeBras. 20 on the shot. Now here's Sophie Phillips, coming off of the worst game of her life. See if she can improve that today. Rhode Island has 10 to shoot. Hyman hits a 10-footer off of a back cut screen, and it's now 11 to zilch. Play number one coming up here. Niall Lear has it on the right wing. Lear is double-teamed. Ariana Smith missed a shot from the right side. And Fiala's in the game at 6'4", and she is able to keep it alive, but it goes out of bounds off of her. And it goes back to Rhode Island as they are going to now substitute in Sophia Vital, a 5'5 freshman, averages 1.7 points a game. Rhode Island going to their bench a lot sooner today than they did against VCU. 4:47 to go, first quarter. Rhode Island has 11. Dayton has nothing. Vital on the dribble, guarded by Ivy Wolf. Now driving is Hyman up over Jones and good. It's now 13 to zilch. Near front court between the circles. Over to Ariana Smith. She drives. She's cut off. Loses her defender and overshot the basket. Hinton and Magaza has the rebound. Flyers now are 0-8 from the field. As Vital has it. Now to Tim and Magaza. Now Sophia Phillips will drive on Niall Lear. She's cut off effectively by Lear. Ball's kicked out to Vital on the right side in front of the UD bench. 10 on the shot. The shot is missed. Comes up short, and the rebound comes down to Eve Fiala, who comes in averaging 4.2 points per game, the 6'4 freshman. Ivy Wolf drives, stops, pops, first points of the game, there they are. Flyers shooting 41% from the field on the season. They're on the board, down 13-2. All of a sudden, my volume got really loud, so if you can turn it down, please. Otherwise, I'll go deaf really soon. Hyman has the basketball. She's on the left wing. She drives on Anissa Jones. She's cut off effectively by Jones. Fade away over Jones. Comes up short. No block out. Hyman gets it back. Missed another shot. And there's Ariana Smith. Her first or second of many rebounds to get. Over to Ivy Wolf. 3:15 to go first quarter. Four fouls Rhode Island. Two for Dayton. Driving. Lear's shot doesn't go down. And the ball is loose on the ground. Who will get it? Rhode Island will get it in a scrum. And they go into the front court with Hyman. She will go all the way up over Jones. Jones reached. Or are they going to call Hyman for the foul? Yeah, they're going to call offensive foul on Hyman. That's her first. And Maya Toure comes back in for Rhode Island, replacing Dee Dee Davis. No, Tenda Magasa. Real six. And here comes the 6'4 Coldwater product freshman, Riley Riss-Miller, into the middle for Dayton, replacing Eve Fiala. So 3 minutes to go, first quarter, Rhode Island's up 13-2, and Ivy Wolf has the backcourt pressure by Sophia Phillips, and she's able to break the press into the front court, double team, cross-court pass in front of us to Niall Lear. Lear will have to give it up, gets it right back from Ariana Smith. Lear's play one-on-one against Vital.
Lehrer gives it up to Wolf outside the three-point stripe. Ivy drives, stops, pops right side, can't get it, but she's fouled from behind by Sophia Phillips. She'll go to the line where she doesn't miss. Wolf on the season, 94%, so being optimistic here, and believe me, we need some optimism. Two free throws here will make it Rhode Island 13, Ivy Wolf 4. I don't even want to look at that screen.
No, there's no good numbers on the screen. But, you know, when you look...
Dayton has fewer turnovers than Rhode Island.
Yeah, they do. They do. 4-3.
Which is amazing.
As Ivy shoots the first free throw and nails it. The one number that sticks out here, Barney, 4 assists on 5 made baskets for Rhode Island. No assists. Now, obviously, Dayton's only scored 1 basket, but the ball's just not moving. It's 1 pass and then isolation. They've got to move and help each other.
And Ivy, of course, with the 2 free throws. It's now 13-4, Rhode Island. And the Flyers are going to have some backcourt pressure. They're going to do a little 1-2-2 action, which does absolutely nothing. Rhode Island breaks it, and they will go into their offensive set. On the dribble is Vital. Now it's Hyman on the left wing, played by Anissa Jones. To Dede Davis, 10 on the shot. Rhode Island not really moving. Now the ball is kicked away. Davis is able to save it before an over the back. It's in 5 seconds to shoot. Dede Davis on the dribble against Lear. Fakes her out, puts it up, missed the shot. That was good defense by Dayton, but loose ball came right to Dede Davis just as I complimented them, and she puts it in. She has 4 points. And that's the way the ball bounces sometime. And it's now 15-4. You know, you work that hard for 30 seconds, and a loose ball happens to go right to a 5'8 player, and she puts it in. The ball's kicked out. Riss Miller now to Anissa Jones. She drives to the baseline. 10-foot pop. Does not go. And Dayton has had good looks, and they have just not been able to score today, other than Ivy. And here's a pass up court. Too tall for Ture. It goes out of bounds. And here comes Destiny Bohannon back into the Dayton lineup, replacing Nyle. I would tell you when our next broadcast is. That'll be in November against somebody. I know some games next year, but I can't tell you. I have one particular game I hope it's against. Not that that does you any good. Riss Miller between the circles, holding it. Back over to Wolf. Good overplay defense by Vital. Almost got the steal. Now Ivy has to get rid of it. They might call it for a violation. She's able to get it to Anissa Jones. Dayton cannot get into their offense. This is excellent defense for Rhode Island. Anissa Jones drives and puts it in. She had to work hard to even get that shot off. It's 15-6. Minute 10 to go in the period. Rhode Island's over. Dayton does have a couple of fouls to give. We'll see if that plays in to this offensive possession. Dede Davis over to Hyman. Between the circles, back over to Triple D. She drives up over Bohannon. Tried to draw the charge, didn't, and the shot was way over the rim. In quick transition, almost stolen, but Anissa Jones gets it to Bohannon, and they stop the game.
Charge.
And charge fouls it on
Jones,
and that would be her first, team's third, with 47 seconds to go in the period. And Dubroz is back in for the Rams. Ball in backcourt to Dubroz. 15-6 Rhode Island, 40 seconds to go first period. Between the circles, Dubroz on the dribble. Over to Hyman. 15 to shoot. They have Dede Davis shoot a three. Way off the mark. Rhode Island has cooled down. Ture got the rebound, and she's fouled. Riss Miller commits the personal, her first. And Maya Ture is a 63% free throw shooter. As for Ture, she's preseason all-conference first team. She was first team all-league last year, when she was also named the A-10's most improved player of the year. She had a career high last year, 27 points against Harvard, and she has to battle for food. I say that because she has 5 siblings. She averaged 12 points a game last year. That's about where she is on average this year, and she misses the free throw. One more coming. Flyers can then hold for one. Trying to ease back into this game. They trailed 13-0. They now trail 15-6. And Nyle Lear is able to come in for Anissa Jones. Magasa wants to come back in.
For Ture.
But that may not happen, especially if Maya misses this free throw, which she did not. She's got 3. So here comes Magasa back in.
And we will again see the pressure in the backcourt. And now Rhode Island will back off that pressure. 16-6 is the score. Wolf has 4, Jones has 2, and that's all you need to know. 4 for Hyman, 3 for Toure, 5 for DeBras, 4 for D.D. Davis. Very balanced. And Sophia Phillips has done absolutely nothing in this game. They haven't needed her. 10 seconds in the quarter. Ivy Wolf drives out to Riss Miller. She's a good three-point shooter. She missed. Rebound, Ariana Smith. 4 seconds to go. Ball's on the floor. And it comes up to Rhode Island, and that will do it. Okay, so Rhode Island leads 16-6. Again, we want to thank our underwriters, and we will go ahead and read them right now. And they include Kettering Overhead Door, Fat Boys Dayton, Coin Dentistry, Bob Ross Auto Group, Ohio Painting Service, Cinerama, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Bill's Donut Shop, Archer's Tavern, ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Hothead Burritos, El Rancho Grande, Roeder Shoe Center, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Dayton Art Solutions, let's see, The Flower Shop, USA Tire and Auto Service Center, let's see, Demnikas Italiano Restaurant, Air, Wine and Spirits, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Roberson Law, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding and Home Improvement, and I don't want to leave out, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, considering we're about 2.5 weeks away from St. Patrick's Day. That should be their biggest day of the year. All right, so finishing the alumni who will be honored at halftime, they will be introduced and honored. We left off with Kayla Moses, and then we have Casey Nance. I see her over there. Wish she could play. Class of 2012. Okay. By the way, it's interesting, a little trivia here. Casey Nance is only one of 2 players on the all-time roster with the last name ending in an N. It seems rather weird. The other is Becky Newcomb, class of 1969. If I'd have asked you for one of those stump questions, how many all-time UT women's basketball players' last name ends with N? I'm sure you would not have said 2.
No, I would have missed that one badly.
Not at all. Okay, we also have Ashley Parkinson, class of 2019. Lori Plank, class of 84. Teresa Plunkett Yingling, Hall of Famer, class of 85, 1,413 career points. Bonnie Rose George, I couldn't find when she graduated. Kendall Ross from Canada, 2010, 1,063 career points. I see her over there. Cassie Sand, pride of Fairmont High School. Yay for Fairmont High School. I play Centerville today in a big boys sectional matchup at Vandalia at 4 o'clock. Good luck getting tickets. Cassie Sand, class of 2014. Jenny Wechser Stephan, class of 93. Kyla Whitehead, class of 2022. Susan Zurcher, don't know when she graduated. Let's see, Donna Burks, class of 84, Hall of Famer, 1,850 points. Number 3 all-time scorer in UB women's history. Andrea Hoover, 1,848 points, Hall of Famer, number 4 all-time scorer, class of 2015. And we don't want to leave this one out. Javonna Layfield, class of 2018, double-double machine. Probably your favorite player since you've been here, right?
I think so. I loved watching her grow from the beginning to the end. I think I saw more development out of Javonna than anyone else. And selfishly, I think she was the most fun player to interview. So she brought a lot of fun when she came over.
She definitely did that. I will agree. All right, the Flyers have the ball. Believe it or not, it doesn't feel... They're only down... When I say only, they're down 10. But
no, you're right.
Like they're
it's
down
only
by about 40.
You're right, though, Barney. They played about as bad as they could play, and they're only down 10.
And they're shooting from the field 2 of 14. That's 14%. Open lane. Destiny Bohannon drives and clunks the shot, gets it back, and puts it in. Believe it or not, I think that first shot missed so badly, that worked to her advantage. So Riss Miller is working with Toure in the post, and they are handsing on each person. They could have given a double foul. Toure shoots it up and missed it over Riley, and the rebound comes to Ariana Smith. Looks like the Flyers have a little pep in their step now. If not now, never. On the dribble driving is Wolf. She got fouled. She got clunked on the head by DeBras. That's her first foul.
Rams out for number 30, that's DeBras.
Tammy Reese has to have the most healthy knees in the world. She does not move from that crouching position. She could be a catcher in her next life. I mean, we know she was a player. She's a bit under the weather, so it's nice of her to do the interview with me today. And you got a little bonus part of it afterward.
He did. Behind the scenes.
Yeah. Nylier inside to Ivy. Wolf 20 on the shot. They come for her, so gets it over to Lear. Nice crossover dribble in the paint. Can't get it to go. Rebound cuffed for Kamara. And here come the Rhode Island Rams to our left. Driving all the way is Dubras. She's cut off effectively, so it's out to Phillips. Sophie Phillips is 0-for-1 from the field. Inside, Kamara traveled, got away with it, and scores it. So she doubles her seasonal average, does the sophomore, making it 18-8. We have an interview I did last year in December with assistant coach Trendell Perkins. So we'll look forward to broadcasting that at halftime. Cross-court pass, Wolf to Lear. Lear drives the lane on Phillips. Up over her and got it. No, in and out. But somehow Lear got it back. Tried to get it for Smith. Not a wise pass there. Intercepted. In transition. Driving is D.D. Davis. She scores. And Bohannon gets the foul. And Davis has 6 points. So that play right there is a microcosm of the season. If Lear scores, then there's no turnover and there's no 3 points the other way.
5 point swings just happens all the time. It's frustrating because, like you said, they came out in the quarter. You start to see a little bounce. You see the momentum kind of swinging their way. And a lot of times when you're down early on and you do creep back, it's easy to get that momentum going and get back into the flow of the game. And then, yes, just a sloppy turnover after a missed layup leads right to an easy basket down the court. Those are heartbreaking plays and hard to recover from.
Davis can make this, which he does, a 21-8 game. She's off to a great start today, this grad student. 7 points, she averages 11, and here's that backcourt press. And kind of get it to the ball handler, which is not Arianna Smith. Does so to Wolf. Wolf, a high-arcing pass in front of us to Shannon Wheeler, back over to Ivy Wolf. Problem is, once Dayton gets into their offense, the shot clock's already like a 10.
Yeah, the press is really bothering them.
And there's no adjustment for it that they can make. Ivy Wolf off the screen, comes up short. Strong rebound by Perez. Perez, turnaround, hook shot, good! That's one of the best moves I've seen Ryan Perez have this year. And it makes it 21-10. We are at the 8-minute mark of the first half. So between the circles, Tourette. Motion offense, Phillips gives it off to DeBrons. A knees on the dribble, guarded by Ivy Wolf. Rhode Island is under 10 to shoot. Dubras tries to use a screen. Now underneath for Toure. Toure, turn around up over Arianna Smith. Missed it. One-handed rebound is kept alive by Perez. Flowers can cut this deficit under double digits. Driving is Ivy. Wolf is cut off. Bounce pass Wheeler. Wheeler in the lane. Five-foot pop. Too hard. Perez gets the rebound. Puts it in. And Dubras hits the ground for Rhode Island. She's helped up. She's fine. Flyers down 21-12. 7 minutes to go in the period.
Good effort from Perez the last two possessions. Back-to-back buckets. It'd be great to see her get going.
Dubras calls the play for D.D. Davis. Davis looks for a cutter. That's Phillips. They have taken away her three-point shooting in this game. They've at least done that. Eight to shoot. And I think, do we have Shannon Wheeler for a foul or?
I think it's Smith.
You're right. It's number 5, Arianna Smith. That's her first foul. Rhode Island will bring in Hyman, replacing Dubras. And that is 2 fouls on Dayton in this period to 1 for Rhode Island. And I have no idea what we're waiting for. Somebody, I guess, to inbound the ball. That would help. And it will be D.D. Davis. They have 20 to shoot, and the ball is poked out of bounds underneath by Arianna Smith. Now they have 19 to shoot. Do that 19 more times. So we'll be inbounded again by Davis. Loops it into Hyman. And Davis looks to post Toure underneath. But instead, here's a wild three for Phillips, and she nails it. I mean, she caught that on the run. Barely even grabbed it. Quick release, 34% on the season. Rhode Island's only at 30%. Three-point shooting team, but that three-pointer for Phillips makes it 24-12. Wolf has her pass deflected, and now she tries to pass underneath for Smith. That's deflected. It goes right back to Ivy Wolf, so she's going to try this again.
Wolf looks for an opening. It's kicked out. Anissa Jones will drive. 10-foot pop left side. Too hard. Rebound though, Ariana Smith. Tied up momentarily. Gets it back in the scrum. Missed the layup. But it comes out to Anissa Jones, and she puts it out again. This is amazing. Boss lifts and Wheeler gets it. Oh, my gosh. There's a lid on the thing. You wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe it. David is shooting now 5 of 24 from the field. Driving is Wolf. She gets cleanly blocked by Sophia Phillips. In transition the other way, it's Hyman. Hyman all the way, and there's a foul, and I think it's on Mariah Perez. Should not be a shooting foul. Mariah's first foul. Dayton has seven players, each with one foul. I mean, I mean, they're right there, and the ball just is not going. I don't know what I'm going to say.
5 of 26 from the field. And, yeah, I mean, some of that, yes, Rhode Island has played good defense, specifically in the first quarter, but Dayton is missing a lot of easy shots. That percentage should be 10 to 15% higher.
Hyman is going to the line. It surprises me. She's at 73% on the year. She spent her last 4 years at Syracuse. Last year, she averaged 10.4 a game. 2 years ago, she averaged 16. Her season high this year is 19 against Lemoyne. She did have 14 rebounds against Youngstown State. She did play 12 minutes a couple of games ago against St. Joe. She previously missed 5 games, so she's still trying to work herself back into the rotation, and the free throw clunks off.
I'm assuming Tammy probably recruited her at Syracuse. It would have been right her last year before, so she probably had a part in her recruiting. That's a good chance on how she landed at Rhode Island.
She won't be playing anymore after this year. She is a grad student, so she gets 1 year here. Connects on the free throw, so that's 5 points for her, and it's 25-12. Rhode Island is winning this quarter 9-6 after they won the first quarter 16-6. Now it's Nia Lear. Over to Wheeler outside the three-point stripe. Underneath Perez posts. Mariah holding it. She needs help. Instead, nobody helps her, and Nagasa blocks it. That's block number 185 on the career. And it's D.D. Davis the other way. Stops and pops in the lane. Good. D.D. Davis is having herself a game. 9 points for the grad student, and it's 27-15. So that glimmer of hope we saw, well, right now, like coming in April, the eclipse. Looks like it's faded to darkness.
Ugh.
And here's a bad pass, almost intercepted, but Lear's able to take it back from Davis up to Wheeler. Shannon does not take the three. Instead, it's a Perez. She misses from the left side. Bodies fly everywhere. Perez gets it back, misses again. The ball's on the ground, and Perez is on the line, and the ball should go to Rhode Island, and it does. And maybe this is a good time to stop the game. 4:50 to go, first half. 27 Rhode Island. 12 Dayton. We'll be back.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring UD women's basketball to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard about them during games on the radio. This year's underwriters are ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Dominica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Roederer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Sinorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
It's games like this where I'm really glad I have some prep, because I really don't want to look at that monitor. No, I don't want one of those, please. The seniors, Ty Kozlova, psychology major, 41 games at Maryland, 17 starts last year, 43 threes in 27 games this year. She had 43 threes in 27 games. She's been in 20 games this year. She played season high 26 minutes with 8 points against Miami Hamilton. Anissa Jones, communications technology major, 15 games at Ohio State. She was in all 28 games last year, averaging 10 points and 6 rebounds. Shined with 20 points and 15 rebounds against St. Louis. This year, averaging 9 points a game, season high 22 against Miami Hamilton. Destiny Bohannon from Wayne has her bachelor's in occupational and behavioral studies, working on her MBA.
fifth-year senior. 19 starts her junior year, averaged 12.4 points per game, 26-point game against Northern Kentucky, and again this year she's averaging 10.2 a game. And then you have Mariah Perez, educational leadership major. Today's her 129th career game over 5 years. Went from averaging 2.4 points a game in her third year to 12 points, 9.4 rebounds last year. She had 12 double-doubles last year, including a stretch late in the year when she had five straight double-double games. There's a little bit of a summary on the seniors. And as for Rhode Island, as of fall 2021, about 18,000 students. Mascot Rhodey the Ram, chosen in 1923. Started as Rhode Island State Agricultural School in 1888 as an experimental station. It became Rhode Island State College in 1909 and then the University of Rhode Island in 1951. So there's the buzzer. And the score is 27-12, Rhode Island with the lead. Rams looking to improve to 18-13 on the season and try to flush away some of the, frankly, disappointment that I think they have had coming into this season. I think they thought they would be further up in the standings. Here's a pass that's thrown right to Mariah Perez. See if the Flyers can break a scoring drought, which is now over 2.5 minutes. And here's a palming violation on Niall Lear. That's Flyer turnover number 7. Again, halftime. We delve into the background of assistant coach Trendale Perkins. A very interesting gentleman. Look forward to that. Danica Lightbourne is going to check in for Dayton. Looks like for the first time at the next dead balls. We're down to 4:10 to go in the first half. Crossover dribble Davis, guarded by Wolf. Here's another quick release three Phillips. This time it's too hard, and Ivy Wolf comes up with the rebound. Into the front court. Ivy stops, has to get rid of it. Outside to Riley Rissmiller. Underneath, give and go. Good pass. Nice cut for Perez. She scores. She has 296 points. It's 27-14. That was an excellent off-ball cut for Perez. And good eye vision for Rissmiller getting the assist.
Great as touch pass. Tough to get
out
that
out of my
in
mouth. They don't. And the shot is missed inside for Hyman. And the loose ball, Wolf will control it for the Flyers. And sometimes when you hit the age that I am, the words just don't come out. And they're going to call Wolf for offensive foul there. No, not Wolf. Perez gets the foul, and the unpaid officials in the stands don't like it. That's Mariah's second. You didn't like it either.
No, she was set. Mariah's a pretty physical player, so when you hit her, you're really not going to move her. And the Rhode Island player took the brunt of the, you know, the hit, but Mariah was set pretty solid on that one.
Ariana Smith comes in for Mariah, and Turay, right in front of us, inbounds it to D.D. Davis. As we look here, Rhode Island has committed one foul in this period. Dayton is basically now over the limit. Rhode Island up 27-14, approaching 3 minutes. Magasa hands it off to Hyman. Hyman blows past Lightbourne, scores, and Danica Lightbourne has committed a foul.
Just an education on how to use a screen there. She really took her to school, blew right past Tenon Magasa's screen, and got all the way to the hoop. It's too easy, really. Lightbourne's got to play better and get over that screen.
Chris Miller out. Ifiala back in. Hyman has 7. Looks for her 8th point here. And it's 29-14. And it's now 30-14. And they're going to bring Dubras back in, replacing D.D. Davis. There are some factors, but this is a possibility that these teams could play again in the first round of the A-10 tournament next Thursday. If they do, please, oh gosh, I hope it doesn't look like this. Here's a pass inside Fiala. She gets stuffed by Touré cleanly. And Dubras hands it off to Magasa. She traveled. She got away with it. And here's Touré, 10-foot pop. That was easy. She wasn't really guarded. She hits. She has 5 points. It's now 32-14. And Ivy Wolf in the front court. At the 2.5 minute mark of
a very disappointing first half. Dayton was down 13-0, and it's gotten worse. Here's Ariana Smith. They leave her wide open for a three, which is way off the mark. And the rebound comes down to Hyman. When you're that wide open, you really have to take it. Driving all the way. Dayton did not get back on defense. DeGraw scores, and she now has seven, and it's now 34-14. And remember, the quarter that Rhode Island outscores their opponents by a lot hasn't even occurred yet. Here's Smith driving. She loses it on the baseline. Actually, it's Lightbourne. She goes up for the shot in the crowd. And Sophia Phillips commits her second foul. Tanika Lightbourne with some good tenacity goes to the line, where she's 72% on the year. The Flyers check in at 74%. Well, talk about a team that's doing well. Softball. Weather's getting there. 7-2. Their doubleheader yesterday in Bowling Green, Kentucky was weathered out. They are playing a doubleheader today against SIU Carbondale and Northern Illinois. Top hitter is Emily Daniel, is hitting 370. She's from Marysville. Free throw good. Pitches, Izzy Kemp. These are nice numbers. 4-1 with a .66 ERA. So she's lost the game. Amazing. First free throw good, second free throw also good, and it makes it 34-16, and Lightbourne checks out for Anissa Jones. Dayton baseball's 3-4. They're going to be home next weekend, four games against South Dakota State. Looks like the weather will cooperate. They're playing two games today at High Point, North Carolina, and a single game tomorrow. And there's a basket good. Dee Dee Davis continues her awesome game. She now has 11, and it's 36-16. Here's a three. It's missed for Bohannon, but she's fouled.
They called Magasa underneath.
So they got Magasa, and that's her second. Rhode Island is not over. That's her third, or that's their team's third. So Dayton will throw it in with 1:44 to go, and Magasa is out. Tammy Reese wears out those towels that you sub in and out with, so I can't even keep up with that. But Smith can't hit the shot inside. Ariana gets it back. She's ready. She hits the shot. Teray fouls her. That is just effort over effort for Ariana Smith, who gets her first 2 points of the game. She's 78% at the free throw line. She never lets up off the gas. We know that about her. So, again, UD baseball, their top hitter is a sophomore from Boston. 333 is Ivan Aries. Hitting 320 is Ryan McDougal. He's a freshman from Massachusetts as well. And now Magasa comes back in and gives the towel to Ture. I wonder who started that tradition of the towel. Do you do that in your intramural games?
No. Nope.
Or if somebody hands you a towel, you probably just wipe yourself with it, right?
I guess you get one technical foul for having six people on the court and then you move to towels.
I gotcha. Ariana Smith missed the free throw. So it's 36-18. Rhode Island has doubled up the Flyers. We're at 129. We just saw a travel violation on Dee Dee Davis. I didn't want to do this, but I will recap. Rhode Island is shooting very respectable 47% of the field. Dayton is shooting at 21%. Rebounds, 19 for Dayton? That can't be right.
They've caught back up. Yeah, okay. It's 24-19.
That surprised me. Turnover 7 Rhode Island, 8 Dayton, which kind of surprised it's that close. All right, so those are your team stats. Flyers with 20 seconds to shoot, down 36-18. And the ball has Ivy Wolf with it between the circles, 10 to shoot. Ivy got Magasa. She's trying to go past her. She's double-teamed, 8 to shoot. Over to Anissa Jones. Some very aggressive double-teaming for Rhode Island. 4 to shoot. Anissa Jones kicks the ball off her foot out of bounds.
I'll tell you, Barney, it's tough to really kind of broadcast because it's so easy to defend. Watching this Dayton team, you know, they do not move. They're not helping each other out. You're not seeing screens. You're not seeing cuts. One assist through the first 20 minutes of play here. It's really, when you're watching the other team move around, set screens, it's two different styles of basketball, and it's really frustrating to watch as a Dayton fan if you're a Dayton fan.
Ariana Smith took that open three earlier as Dee Dee Davis shoots an air ball. Ariana came into this game 1 of 14 from three-point land, so maybe she should not have taken that open three. Here's Ivy Wolf driving, stopping, popping left side, off the mark too hard, batted around, taken down by Hyman, and I think was tripped up by Ivy Wolf, who picks up her second foul. That will result in, should result in free throws for Hyman, and we'll walk down the other end of the court as Wheeler and Lightbourne will check back in for UD. So in the second half, I will try to give you an idea of where the tournament stands, especially now that Davidson's not in it. Mm-hmm. Again, they cancel the rest of their season after having injured players. They did play home Wednesday. They lost to George Washington. They basically played six people. And for whatever reasons, which we'll never know and we never should know, they have canceled the rest of their season. And actually, at the line, it's going to be Sophia Vital. She missed her first free throw. She's at 69% on the season. She has a season high of 9 points against Brown. And she has one more with 36 seconds to go. So you take Davidson out. The teams will be seeded 1 through 14. And the free throw is good for Vital. 7 of 10 at the line for the Rams. Dayton is 4 of 5. 37 points. Rhode Island 16 in the first, 21 in the second. Dayton 6 in the first, so far 12 here in the second. And Anissa Jones shoots a 3 wide open, and it's off the mark too long. Comes right to Bohannon. She puts it in. Bohannon with 4 points. And Rhode Island will go for 1 here. And as soon as we hit halftime, we're going to make a quick trip to our halftime interview, which runs about 15 minutes. On the dribbles, Vital. She'll drive all the way over to Tana Magasa. She puts it in, and that's halftime. So, 39-20. Let's go to our halftime interview right now.
What are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops, the rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
It's halftime at UD Arena. Our halftime program today is being brought to you by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the studios for halftime.
All right, Trendale Perkins. We have him right now. We are excited. Assistant coach, University of Dayton. We're going to get into video coordinating in a moment, but I have to do this. I did a little bit of research. You have to tell me about your very unique first name, Trendale. All I could find on the website was River Crossing in the Valley. I tried to look up, that's all I got. Meanings. That's all I got. Oh, enlighten me.
See, you went too deep. No, really no meaning in it.
No meaning.
No meaning at all. So my dad, had two best friends. One's name was Trent, T-R-E-N-T.
I bet the other is Dale.
The other one was Dale, and he just combined them. Trendale took the T out. So, yeah.
I did find a Trendale rug company, believe it or not. All right, I had to start there. Okay, so you have been described as Tamika's right-hand man, yes. Especially from your days at Wittenberg. Well, first of all, I hope you're right-handed, but I don't know.
I am.
Okay, thank good you're not our left-hand man. Okay, what does she mean by that?
Right-hand man, so like somebody that she can absolutely depend on. Calling the time I need, like she know I'm gonna be there. I got her back. She knows for a fact I got her back. So, yeah, I think that's what she means by that.
Okay, you're also the video coordinator. Now, what does that mean? I mean, because I know one time I didn't even introduce myself to you, but you were sitting there breaking down some film, yes. And we were talking.
Yes,
didn't know we were going to do this, yes. But I'm happy we're doing this. But what does that part of your job entail?
So a lot of watching the other team, a lot of watching our team, and just breaking down different actions that we could guard, breaking down different sets and the other team's plays. Pretty much that thing where I'm watching a lot of film, clipping it and getting it together for our team to watch in a scout form so they can see it, breaking down personnel of the other team. I'm really just breaking down as much film and watching as many teams in advance as possible and trying to get a bead on, you know, what teams run and then bringing it to the group when we meet, and just ideas of how to stop teams, how we can play, that kind of deal.
Offense. Now, do you break down film for individual players? Like, if you know Ivy's going to guard McMakin, for example, of St. Louis, are you going to break down a bunch of stuff and send that to Ivy? If so, you're doing that for a lot of players.
Not necessarily that way. I could do that, but it's mainly for, like, the whole team. Gotcha. I normally do it for the whole team.
So. And the other thing is, I lost my train of thought, but I'll get it back. Oh, so you guys used to, like, from what I understand, I don't know if it was last year, one person would have a scout for a team.
Yes.
And then you'd alternate it. But
yes.
You've changed that. Everybody scouts everybody now. Yes. How does that work to the advantage?
I think it's, honestly, I didn't know if I would like it when we first started doing it, but I think I actually like this, doing it this way. It's a little more, I guess, tedious because I'm getting, like, ideas and film from everybody and at all different times, whereas last year I would get it all at once and I could break it down quickly. But I think what the advantage of doing it this way is everybody is locked in to the team that we're playing, whereas last year, if I was doing a scout on St. Louis and it was just me, like, everybody else wouldn't necessarily be involved in personnel or this is what they run. They wouldn't necessarily know all the details of the team we were playing. So this way, everybody knows, St. Louis likes to, I'm just giving an example, they might like to run continuity ball screen. All of us know that. A certain player likes to has certain tendencies, we all know, because we all watch film, we all broke it down, and we're all locked in and engaged on that one team. So I like it a lot, actually.
What's a strategy? Okay, I'm going to use Davidson for an example. Okay. You've played them, you played there, it didn't go so well. We won't revisit that. You're going to play them again, though, later in the year.
Absolutely.
Are you going to break down stuff from that game? Are you going to break down stuff from after that game and, like, maybe the game or two before? You've played Davidson, so I don't know what you actually will learn new.
So you always want to hopefully make adjustments. So we'll watch that game, the initial game that we played Davidson. Watch that game and see what we can take away from that, see what we can change. And then we'll also watch their most recent games as well, and see what we can adjust. How can we beat them now? Because they might be different. And we might be different as well.
I was going to say, they probably will be different because Ellie Sutphin didn't play.
Absolutely.
And she just came off the bench and scored in their most recent game a couple of points. So
yes.
I would expect her to be ramping up. So you got a whole different challenge.
That's a whole different team when we play them again if she's healthy. So, so we'll watch their most recent games and break those games down, and then we'll come up with a game plan to try and determine how we beat them. So,
all right, so there's the video coordinating part of your job.
Yes.
Another part of your job, obviously, is during practice.
Yes.
Is there a particular group, guards, forwards, centers you work with, or do you work with everybody all the time?
I kind of work with everybody, but I probably lean towards the post more. I'm usually down there with them, helping them get better. Just working on their skill sets and that kind of thing.
Gotcha. All right, so a little bit more about you. I didn't start with this, but we could do it now. Head coach at Sinclair for 3 years. You were there for 7 years, graduated from the Patterson Career Center.
Yes, sir.
College football played at Ohio U.
Yes, sir.
They were just in the Motor City Bowl. Congratulations,
yes, sir,
to them. And got Bachelor of Science degree in Health Services.
Yes, sir.
So, health services,
administration, yeah.
Coaching. How did you decide you wanted to get into coaching?
Oh man, that's a long, drawn out story. Actually, So obviously, I played football in college, and I played high school football and high school basketball. I was pretty good in college. I mean, high school. I was pretty good in basketball. And then once I started getting recruitment started happening, I was just getting football scholarship offers, right? So I ended up taking the football scholarship to Ohio University and went to play football, but I actually loved basketball. Just didn't get recruited to play basketball because I was kind of a tweener. So I really never really loved football, but I knew I was good at it. I was just really good at it. So went to play football in college. Started 3 years at Ohio U, outside linebacker. Didn't ever think I would coach. My girlfriend in college, who was now my wife, Diane, my senior year, she mentioned to me coaching, and I'm like, why would I ever coach? Like, it just didn't make sense in my brain to coach. And she actually, like, told me I should go be a GA. And I'm like, nah, I'm just going to go work after I'm done. Like, I don't want to coach her. So, anyway, long story short, we end up having a probably about 5 or 6 years later, we end up having a young girl, a daughter. And she started getting into basketball. So I think she's in the 5th or 6th grade. She was going to play on a basketball team, and the basketball team she was going to play on, they didn't have a coach. And for some reason, they thought that I should do it because I was at every practice. You know, I guess I was committed to bringing her to practice, and they, you know, they asked me to do it. And I actually did it and ended up enjoying it. And yeah, the rest is kind of history. I actually, from that point on, I kept coaching. So started out coaching youth basketball, coached youth basketball, maybe like 3 or 4 years. And then I was trying to figure out how do I make a career out of it? Cause I didn't want to continue. Like, I wanted to make a career out of it, right? You hear that cliche statement, that if you, can get paid doing something you love, you never work another day in your life, right? So I'm trying to figure out how to do that, and I figured I love basketball so much. How can I make this my career? And from that point, my thought process was to coach full time. So I ended up sending an email to a coach at Sinclair, and I didn't go looking for a job. I told him I would volunteer. Like, I didn't want any money. He let me volunteer that year, and it just snowballed from that first year. I volunteered. Second year, I got paid a little bit. Third year, I got paid a little bit more. And then the fourth year, I think it was my fourth year there, we actually had a really good team, and my head coach actually took a AD job at Euclid. So, like, one of my best friends was the head coach. She took AD job at Euclid, and they made me the interim head coach. That year, we actually ended up going 28-6, and we actually went to the NJCAA national championship, the first time Sinclair had done that in probably 30 years. So. And then from that point, COVID happens, and now I'm, like, really trying to figure out. Everybody did a reset at that point, right? Sinclair shuts down, and I'm like, man, I just really want to coach. And I went 1 year where I didn't coach, and all I did was, like, evaluate talent. Next year, what I did was, I evaluated talent a whole year, and then the next year, they told me that they weren't going to have sports again. So I was like, I'm going to go coach high school. I'm going to coach somewhere. So anyway, I randomly see that Tamika got the job at Wittenberg. All right. Mind you, I did not know Tamika from a can of paint at that point. So social media is a powerful tool. I ended up DMing Tamika to first congratulate her on getting the job at Wittenberg, and then I also seen that she was hosting a skills camp at Wittenberg for kids, and I hadn't coached in a whole year, so I just wanted to do something. So I asked her if I could help her at the camp. She actually responded and said, sure, I'm not running the camp, but my husband is. You can help him. So anyway, long story short, in June, I go to the Wittenberg, and me and her husband, Richard, who's my guy now, me and him actually ran the camp together. And while we were there, like, the relationship, like, we just bonded instantly. Tamika and her husband, like, it was just an instant connection. And from that point on, the rest is history. She asked me to come to Wittenberg with her as an assistant. And
yeah, here you are at Dayton.
I am at Dayton. That was long.
All right. No, that was great. I appreciate that. One more question. I have about another minute and a half on this, and I'm fascinated with this. What was the biggest challenge trying to recruit players at a community college at Sinclair when it's basically 2 years and that's it?
Yeah. So Sinclair, I thought recruiting at Sinclair, the biggest challenge was getting people to buy into the fact that it was not their last stop, right? I saw Sinclair as being like a springboard to their future. But a lot of the times, a lot of people looked at junior college negatively. You know, a kid might go there because he didn't have the grades, or she didn't have the grades, or those kind of negative connotations of junior college, the whole junior college path, right? But I think junior college is great, is a great springboard, not only from the athletic standpoint, but also the academic standpoint, and also financially. Like, you could go to Sinclair and get all your core work done and save money, right? A lot of kids don't really know that. So that's one of the things that I sold on how to get kids and parents to buy in to coming to Sinclair.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. And that is our halftime.
The halftime program was brought to you today by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the arena for the second half of today's contest.
And again, halftime, we thank Trindale Perkins. Interesting gentleman. 39-20, Rhode Island with the lead. Quickly, here's the scoring individually. Sophia Phillips has been held at 3. Tenda Magasa, 2, right at the end of the half. Hyman has 8. Kamara has 2. Vital has 1. Touré has 5. Dubras has 7. DeeDee Davis has 11. Quickly, the Flyers, Lightbourne has 2, Jones 2, Smith 2, Wolf 4, Perez 6, Bohannon 4. No three-pointers for the Flyers. Here's Dennis.
All right. DeGraw has it on the left wing. Kicks it over to Phillips. Phillips almost fires from 3 right away. Instead, around the perimeter to Davis. Davis comes off the screen, comes to the free throw line. Pump fake, spins around, has to throw it back out to Phillips. DeGraw dribbles in, played by Lear, throws it wildly off the glass. Shannon Wheeler clears up the defensive rebound. Good first defensive possession for the Flyers. Trailing by 19, 16-6 in the first period for Rhode Island, 23-14 in the second. Ivy Wolf from 3, just off the back rim, and rebound comes down to DeBras. DeBras takes it up, hands it over to Dutat. Looks inside, Maya Torre spins, lays it up, off the glass. Fundamental. Too easy. 41-20. Rams lead. See if the Flyers help each other a little bit more in this second half. Only one assist through the first half. Ivy Wolf has it at the top of the key. Over to Shannon Wheeler. Wheeler to Nia Lear. Lear gets doubled. Backs it off. Looks over. Three-pointer just misses there. That was Destiny Bohannon. Wide open. Just unable to hit. She's had a couple good looks today. Airballed her first three. Sophie Phillips on the left wing. Out to Dutat. DeeDee Davis. Had Torre on the right block instead. Hangs on to it. Shoots the three. Looks good, but it's off the rim. Torre skies for the rebound. Goes over Perez. Spin move up and over Perez. Just a little long. Comes off the back rim. Rebound to Mariah Perez. She kicks it up to Ivy Wolf. Wolf quickly into the front court. Comes off of the screen. Good hedge there by Torre. Ball bounces off of Torre's knee. Flyers will retain possession. That was a good hedge there by Maya Torre, helping her guard out. You're a big, and they're screening for you. Help your guard out. Hedge them out. Make the guard go around you. Allow your teammate to recover. Ivy Wolf to inbounds. Gets it over to Nia Lear. 15 on the shot clock. Hyman in for Rhode Island. Played. Now it's into Perez. Perez ends up. They called a whistle. We'll see what this is called, because really what happened is Perez went to spin. She lost control of the ball, kind of kicked off of her knee. But I think they're going to call a foul underneath
This is probably a bad break for Rhode Island because I do not think she got fouled. Mariah really dropped that. They did. They called that. That was the third foul on Torrey, too. So she's going to check out of the game. That's a big foul. I mean, if Dayton can make a run and get back into this game, this is the first step to that. Torrey's going to have to sit for probably the rest of the period. Easy to do when you're up 21. A little easier decision for Tammy Reese. Bohannon around the perimeter to Lear. Lear comes off a screen from Shannon Wheeler. Hesitates, goes in, pushes off, gets away with it. No whistle. A lot of times you'll catch an offensive foul because she pushed off with her left hand. But the ball is bounced off of a Rhode Island player and goes out of bounds. So Flyers with 10 seconds on the shot clock. Inbounds to Perez. She able to throw it out to Ivy Wolf. Do they know that the shot clock's winding down? 5 seconds, 4 seconds. She's going to have to throw it up. Misses everything. Rebound comes down to Hyman. Hyman fouled by Perez 80 feet from the basket. They didn't call it. Hands it off to DeBras. DeBras takes it in. Throws it to Tinnamagasa. Too easy. DeBras making it happen. 23-point lead. 2.5 minutes into the third period. Ivy Wolf. She's fouled as she hits the logo. Fouls on DeBras. Thought that might have been a bailout call. They've been letting them play pretty physically. DeBras really, she's a great on-the-ball defender. I watched her pretty close in the first two periods, and she applies a lot of on-ball pressure. Not all turnovers or anything that she's forced, but it does cause some trouble. Ivy Wolf dribbles right into Tinnamagasa. She knocks it out of bounds. The long reach of Tinnamagasa. They list her at 6'4". I think that's what she was listed at when she played here at Dayton as well. She looks to be more like 6'6". And her wingspan is enormous. Easy to deflect balls. She's one of the best at it. Ivy Wolf has it. She looks to Perez. Instead, kicks it over to Shannon Wheeler. Around the perimeter to Nia Lear. Lear dribbles, crosses over, back to the top of the key. Going to have to create. 5 seconds. Perez back to Lear. Lear, 2 seconds, has to throw up a shot. Just does hit the rim, so they avoid another shot clock violation, but no offense for the Flyers. Trailing by 23. DeBras takes it in, crosses over, and you're going to get an offensive moving screen on Dutat. She's frustrated by the call, but that one she earned. She was moving, and they'll call you for that almost every time. Looks like Kamara is checking into the game.
And Vital.
Mara and Vital checks in. DeBras and Dutat out.
The killer D's sit down.
Then with Dede Davis, you better have your D's on. Ivy Wolf, played by Vital. Another good on-ball defender. She's quick. Quickest Rhode Island player. Throws it in, looking for Mariah Perez, but it's deflected away, and it's another Flyer turnover. Vital takes it, hands it off to Phillips. Phillips dribbles all the way into the lane. Not her game. She throws it back out. Magasa from the free throw line knocks it down. She's really worked on that shot from about 15, 18 feet. And she's knocking it down with confidence. 25-point lead for Rhode Island. Shannon Wheeler stops and pops. Misses everything. And Kamara comes down with the rebound, but she was standing on the end line when she did.
Remember how this game started with being held scoreless for about 5 minutes? That's exactly where we are. Almost 4 minutes in, and Dayton has not scored.
4 minutes in, and just not getting it done. So they bring three substitutions on. Bohannon, Perez, and Wheeler check out. Riz Miller, Ariana Smith, and Anissa Jones into the game to join Ivy Wolf and Nia Lear. Lear will inbounds. Finds Ivy Wolf. She gets a good look from the corner. She's fouled and knocks it down. No, she stepped on the out-of-bounds. She was not fouled. The whistle was, in fact, when she caught it, she was standing on the end line, let it fly. Of course she hit it, which would have been the first three-pointer Dayton hit today. They are 0 of 10 from the three-point line. Instead, still scoreless in the third period. Another Flyer turnover. That is the number 11. Ouch. Just when you think they might catch a break. 6 minutes and 4 seconds remaining in this third period. Rhode Island over to Hyman. Hyman goes to work, crosses over. Goes all the way in, gets all the way to the basket, lays it up with her left hand. Too easy. Hyman plays really well under control. She's already got 10 points, 4 rebounds. She's only played 13 minutes. I like her game. DeGrad from Syracuse. Nia Lear has it. Just need to stop the bleeding. Can the Flyers find a basket? Ivy Wolf. She is fouled on the perimeter by Vital. Nope. It's a push-off from Ariana Smith. So there was a lot of contact, but it happened after Ariana Smith had the illegal screen. So no foul on Vital. And another possession for Rhode Island, looking to extend their lead to 30, 29 or 30. Ouch. T.D. Davis, top of the key. Gets it over to Hyman. Hyman crosses over. Too easy again. Elbow just misses that one, but Magasek clears the offensive rebound, puts it up. Could have probably dunked it. Missed the bunny. Gets her offensive rebound. Puts it up. Hits the deck. T. Magasek doing some hard work here in the third period. Dayton has it. Looks inside to Rizmiller. Good pass from Wolf to Rizmiller. Rizmiller is fouled by Tevin Magasek. Good position there by Rizmiller. And the Flyers have an opportunity to finally break into the scoring column here during the third period, trailing 49-20.
Observation about T, and I wish Dayton would do this, when she blocked that and she hit the floor, she actually got all the way back on defense to cause some turmoil there before the foul.
You can tell she's healthy. You can tell she's much healthier than she's been. Last year she struggled with it. Obviously here at Dayton she struggled with it at times. Looks like a different player, which is great to see. You know, nothing but the best for Tim. But, yeah, this has been a tough stretch, Marty. 5 minutes into this third period, 49-20. You want to read our underwriters?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. In no order. I just scratch them off. Since our last game, I just scratch them off as I read them. So, I haven't had lunch yet, so El Rancho Grande sounds good. For dessert, I can have Bill's Donut Shop. Maybe some pretzel bites at Archer's Tavern. Hothead burritos sounds good for dinner. Or maybe some something from Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant. Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern sounds fun. Then we'll get into some non-food places. That would be ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Kettering Over at Door, Ohio Painting Service, Rotor Shoe Center, Roberson Law, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding and Home Improvement, Flower Shop, USA Tire and Auto Service Center, Signorama, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, and we'll go back to food. Demnikas Italiana Restaurant, Fat Boys Dayton, Kettering Dairy Queen, Orange Julius, and I covered them all. A10 Hardware, Player of the Week, George Mason's Taviana Habib averaged 16 points in two games. And the Rookie of the Week, also from George Mason, winning it for the sixth time this year. Zariah Walton, she averaged 11 points and 10 rebounds. Some other good performances last week include the Flyers' Anissa Jones. She averaged 16 points and 8 rebounds. Ethiel averaged 10 points and 4.5 rebounds. Loyola Satori Tannen averaged 14 points and 6 rebounds. St. Bonaventure's Isabella Middleton averaged 18.5 points and 6.5 rebounds. Sarah Tibiasu of VCU averaged 16.5 points a game and a couple of wins. And the Billikens' Kyla McMakin averaged 22.5 points, including a 30-point performance against St. Bonaventure. And, of course, St. Louis not playing Davidson tonight, but they are going to have senior night. So, like the Flyers, they had to get an opponent real quick. And they are playing Knox College tonight, which I'm sure Dennis knows a lot about. They're Division III team. They're called the Prairie Fire. They actually have a nice record of 19-8, so we'll see if they give them a little bit more resistance than Miami Hamilton did here. And they are located in Gainesburg, Illinois. Also going on today, Richmond's going to win the conference because they're going to vanquish St. Bonaventure today. George Mason is playing VCU. Loyola's playing George Washington. LaSalle's playing Fordham. And St. Joe's playing Duquesne. And we'll get into repercussions on the postseason tournament and the A-10 standings when we get a chance. But right now,
Riley Rizmiller is missing the first of two free throws.
Yeah,
77% free throw shooter.
I didn't want
shooter.
To say that.
I figured you left it for me. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I left it for you.
That was nice of you.
Yes, anytime.
Second free throw up and good for Rizmiller. And the Flyers have scored in the third period. It's 49-21.
Flyers are 0-10 when scoring less than 60 this year. So they've got a lot of work to do over the next 15 minutes. Sophie Phillips catches the ball at the three-point line, throws it back to Vital. Vital comes off the screen wide open to the lane. Just an unacceptable effort for the defense there. There have been far too many uncontested layups for Rhode Island where they beat their defender and Flyers are not helping each other.
And she's only 5'5".
Offense or defense, just not helping. One assist, not helping on the defensive side. And Flyers have five players all standing around. Ryanisha Jones has the ball at the top of the key. Throws it to Nia Lear. Dumps it down to Destiny Bohannon. She's able to knock it in. Rhode Island did them a favor by playing zone. And Flyers were able to score. Dumped it down. And that's the second assist for the Flyers this evening. Afternoon, evening. We'll call it afternoon. 4 minutes to go in the third period. It's 51-23. Rhode Island is leading. I remember a game here many years ago where Dayton scored over 100 against Rhode Island with, I think, six players because they were down injuries. And it's funny how it changes over the years because this one has been all Rhode Island. Basket there for Rhode Island. They lead 53-23.
Kamara, she has four.
Nia Lear, top of the key. Rhode Island has settled into a zone, a little 2-3 zone. Nia Lear gets into the teeth of it, shoots a jumper, and comes down off of the miss. She gets her own off.
Four?
Yep, gets her own
off. She had that problem here. She had foul trouble in the limit of her minutes.
And she's only played 15 today, yes. T is a defender that she gets a lot of blocks, she deflects a lot, but she doesn't have the best body control. She never really mastered the art of not coming across the body. She and her size, she stands out like a sore thumb. So when you swipe down like that, these officials are going to continually call it. Nia Lear misses her first free throw.
And 68%.
68% on the season.
Not anymore.
I could probably figure that out real quick. I wonder how many attempts she has.
Pretty nice crowd here today. There was even a line at the concession stand. I was happy to see that. Now, help the people stick around for the ceremony despite this score.
Both free throws were missed. Tina Magasa comes down with the rebound. Put a little elbow into Aron Smith. No foul called. And Tina did not pick up that foul, so she still has three. That foul ended up being on Vital. Phillips hits a three, wide open. That's the one you can't leave open. Just her second one of the day. She has 6 points. Nio initiates the Dayton offense. Over to Rizmiller. Rizmiller dumps it down to Ariana Smith. She goes to work on Tina Magasa. Why four Dayton players stand and watch. And that's a tough one. And yet blocked by Tina Magasa. Good offense going against the 6'4" defender. She throws it ahead to Kamara. Wide open, uncontested layup. Pinch me if you heard that before. Not the best effort here for the Flyers today.
You know, you really have to commend the fans this whole year. Because, mm-hmm. for example, George Mason's having a great year. Their announced crowd Wednesday against Dayton, 326.
And that, you're right, though, Barney. That's in a miss here by Nia Lear. These Dayton players have to realize that it's not a privilege to play in front of this many people. I mean, not a right. It is a privilege. Sorry about that. But Vital throws it over to Tina Magasa. Over to Dede Davis. Pick and roll, wide open. Tina Magasa blows the wide open layup. I don't think she's been that open this season. She didn't know what to do. I think she thought about dunking it, Barney.
I'd like to have seen that.
I would have liked to have seen that as well. There was a couple times in her freshman and sophomore year where she had kind of breakaways, and I thought she was going to do it by her senior year. But her legs, they've gone through quite a experience over the years. She's had her fair share of injuries, or I think she probably would with her wingspan.
What did they call there? Was that a foul?
They called a missed layup and then a turnover. 58-23. Rhode Island leads. I might stop reading the score. Ivy Wolf comes off of the screen from Fiala. Back out to Destiny Bohannon. Bohannon, played by Sophie Phillips, takes her to school, throws it off the glass, but misses. Rebound to Kamara. Hands it to Vital. Vital. Coast to coast. Kicked by Ivy Wolf into the stands. Good reaction by the fan to not get hit in the face. There's a little soccer player, as you can hear the fans do the ole. Good reaction there by the fan.
Disappointing loss by the men last night at Loyola. Too many turnovers. We've heard that before. The men go to St. Louis Tuesday against the Billikens, and then the regular season finale at home next Friday against VCU.
Vital throws it into Phillips. Back to Vital. On the reposition, she gets a wide open look on the corner three, but misses. Fiala comes down with the rebound quickly up to Bohannon. Flyers have numbers if they decide to push. They push it ahead to Rizmo. She lays it up. First time today I can remember Flyers had numbers. They find an assist, so two assists this period. So, hey, they've doubled up their assist total. They have three now for the game. Working together helps. Vital over to Hyman. Hyman, turnover, yep. Went in right into Anissa Jones, shuffled her feet. Picks up the turnover. That is turnover number 10 for Rhode Island. 12 turnovers for the Flyers. The way they started the game, I thought they'd be about a 20 now. So they've done a pretty good job of reining in the turnovers. They just can't find a basket. 10 of 48 from the field. 0 of 10 from the three-point line. They broke their long stretch earlier in the season, not hitting a three-pointer in every basket. But 0 of 10 today. Ivy Wolf to Rizmiller. Does she hit the three? It's looking good. It's off the back rim. Fiala battles for the rebound, and it comes down to Torre playing with the three fouls. She kicks it ahead to DeBras. DeBras up to Hyman. Hyman dribbles into the lane, somehow gets wide open, but misses the reverse layup. Fiala, clean block ahead to Destiny Bohannon. Bohannon throws it away.
Torre's hurt.
Important here for Rhode Island. Maya Torre is sitting on the ground, rolling around. She's getting up, so that's a good sign. Took a big fall. She is frustrated and unhappy, but she's going to go to the sideline. Tenon Magasa will check back in. Might not see Maya Torre again.
Can you
today.
Imagine somebody gets injured up by 30-some points when you got the conference tournament next week?
Nope. And if you're Tammy Reese, I maybe took one look at what just happened, and you might see some substitutions start flying in, because you're right, Barney.
Interesting enough, she's not sitting on the bench.
She's probably not ready to just sit yet.
She going to the locker room?
Might help. No. Sometimes you take those stingers and it does not feel good to sit down. You may want to keep walking around or even get on the bike. But we'll see. We'll keep an eye on her. She seems to be okay. DeBras. Hands it off there to Hyman. Hyman out to Phillips. Flyers playing good defense this possession, extending it out. DeBras gets into the lane, though. Throws it up to Tenon Magasa. She spins. She goes up. Tough turnaround jumper. Misses. Hyman ends up coming down with the rebound. Gets a wide open three. Misses everything. And Fiala comes down with the rebound. And a crashing Tenon Magasa, I think, just picked up her fourth foul. And that is team foul number 5 for Rhode Island. So Dayton's going to come down and shoot some free throws. And it's going to be E. Fiala on the line. She has not done the best this year.
65%.
65%.
Well, I warned you about Rhode Island, the way they outscored their opponents in the third quarter. Well, they're just adding to it today. 19-5.
Yeah. 6 in the first, 14 in the second, 5 in the third. Not going to beat anybody with that. Fiala, first free throw. Shoots it one-handed. Misses off that back rim. Not as bad as the way Shaq used to do it, but has that one-handed release. Truthfully, I don't hate it. I mean, you really should shoot mostly with one hand anyways. Second free throw up and good. Dee Dee Davis checks back into the game. DeBras out. Rhode Island has a 2.5-minute scoring drought. 0 of their last 6, but lead by 32. Last shot of the quarter. Dee Dee Davis has it. 10 seconds to go. Played by Ivy Wolf. Starts to initiate the offense. Dribbles in. Crosses over. Takes it all the way in. Blows by Ivy Wolf. Lays it up. All Ivy can do is foul her. And that will send Dee Dee Davis to the line, where she is 3 of 3 today. Has 11 points. Really has had a great game. Played 21 minutes. 11 points. Perfect from the free throw line. 7 rebounds. 3 assists. What is it? 1 turnover? Hard to ask for much more. And from the free throw line, she's 61%. That's the weakness. The weak link in her game. And shows it there. Misses long off the rebound. Not a great three-point shooter, 28%. Second free throw, up and good. Breaks the 2-minute and 45-second scoring drought. Wow. Ivy Wolf, let's go of a half-court shot as time expires, and they foul her. Up 33 points. That is a silly, silly foul. But Ivy Wolf going to the line for 3 free ones. And Tammy Reese talking to DeeDee Davis about it, gives her a hug. If you're going to make a mistake, make it when you're up 33. Your coach won't be quite as mad. Ivy Wolf looking for points 5, 6, and 7. Knocks the first one down, no problem.
She missed, what, like 4 free throws all year?
Yeah, she's 94% on the season. She's 91% on her career. Second one's good.
She shouldn't be allowed to count that free throw if it hits the rim, which these first two have not.
I'd like to see her and Lauren Canatelli just have a free throw contest.
Yeah, in the second round we can blindfold them.
We'll give them 1 minute, and they have to shoot from each side and see who wins. That'll do it. Into the third period. Flyers trail, 59-29. Thank goodness Barney has the fourth quarter when we get back.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring UD women's basketball to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard about them during the games on radio. This year's underwriters are ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotorer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
All right, we'll save the where do we go from here in terms of tournament. We'll save that for the 5-minute media timeout left in the game, and hopefully there will be no other timeouts. please. Anyway, Richmond 15-2. At least I got one thing right. I did pick them to win the conference. They're going to beat St. Bonaventure today. They're going to win the conference. Now, it's interesting after that. You've got four teams battling for three spots for the double bye in the tournament. VCU, George Mason, St. Joe are 14-3. Duquesne 13-4. And ironically, you've got VCU playing George Mason and St. Joe playing Duquesne. So a lot's going to shake out today. Then you've got Rhode Island at 9-8. They're pretty much locked in to the, well, yeah, they won this game. So they're locked into the number 6 seed. St. Louis 9-9. They got the forfeit from Davidson, so they end 9-9. By the way, the crowd, I don't know if they're all still here, but they announced 2,359. That's impressive. Okay, so after the Pelicans at 9-9, but then it really gets messy. Davidson ends 8-10 with the forfeit, and again, they're not seeded since they're not in the tournament. Loyola and Fordham are both 8-9. The Flyers, after this game, will be 5-13. George Washington is 5-12. If they tie, the Flyers have the tiebreaker because they beat George Washington. LaSalle 4-13. They're pretty much locked in, I think, where they are. UMass 2-16. They're not playing today. By the way, they're also leaving the conference, if you did not hear. After next year, they have decided they want to go back to a conference in football, so they are going to the MAC, where I guess they can have a nice rivalry with Buffalo. So UMass will be here next year in their last year in the A-10. Then leaving, bringing up the rear of the conference, St. Bonaventure at 1-16. At the next time out, I'll tell you where it all shakes down for Dayton. But right now it's 59-29. Rhode Island won that third quarter 20-9, and we are underway in the fourth quarter, and DeeDee Davis is on the dribble. It's kicked out to Hyman. Back over to Davis between the circles. Davis, a bounce pass for Toure. She's back in. I'm a little surprised. She missed the shot. Ifiala got the rebound. Almost had it stripped, but it comes to Anissa Jones. Quickly up court to Niall Lear. Nice Euro step. Missed the shot. Niall tries to get it back, but it comes to Hyman. Hyman now blows past defenders. It's kicked out. The three, Phillips missed it. Rebound comes to Davis. She puts it back in. That's just great hustle for a 5'8 player to get the put back, and it's 61-29.
And we look for 29 rebounds for Dayton, and they are getting clubbed on the boards today. 42 rebounds, including a high 7 for both Davis and Hyman. So Dayton being out-rebounded today, 43-29. And a lot of it, frankly, is just effort or lack thereof. Riss Miller posts underneath Fiala. Eve goes up for the hook over to Ray. Rushed it, and it's off the backboard. No good. D.D. Davis front court. D.D. a bounce pass. Ture, basket good. Ture has 9 points. And that was too easy. And that's going to bring Mariah Perez back in. Not the way you want your last home game ever in your career. And we can say that's going to be the case for Perez. Stopping, popping. Wolf misses from the left side. Fiala gets the rebound. Don't put it on the floor. Well, she did. She gets it back out to Wolf. Back inside to Fiala. And she's able to draw the foul on Ture. Her fourth, you're shaking your head.
It just looked like it was going to go well.
It was just a bailout call.
Nowhere to go.
Yeah, nowhere to go. Spinning around. The last possession on the defensive side of the ball, I just have to say this because I don't like it. Ivy Wolf took a huge shot because her teammates didn't like to call that there was a massive screen behind her. It definitely hurt her. I mean, she's fine, like nothing major, but it's the most basic of functions. Tell your teammate she's getting ready to get blasted, and that's what led to the wide-open layup. You can't see what's behind you. You rely on your teammates, and they're not doing a good job today.
Free throw good for Fiala. Another one coming. We wish the Wright State women well today. They're playing at Detroit, and that is a critical game for them because if they win, they can end up in the top four and get a bye and not have to play an extra game next week in their tournament as Fiala hits. And the winner of that game today, that actually might be the coach of the year in that conference between Kate Ochter, who's done a great job at Detroit, and, of course, Kerry Hoffman, who just got a 3-year extension. Next year was supposed to be here last year.
Well-deserved.
Yeah, well-deserved. I've went to 6 of their games this year. Enjoyed them. Most of them. 63-31 to 8 minutes to go. Good head fake for Phillips. She shoots the 3, and it's off the front of the iron. It comes to Nia Lear. Lear looking up court. Nothing doing, so she'll bring it into the front court. At least Rhode Island has stopped that press in the back court. They're being kind, I guess. And Nia Lear throws it away. Quickly up court to Phillips, over Lear. Lear's able to hustle and bat it away, but it comes right to Hyman, and she puts it in, and she has 12. Follow the bouncing ball. Sometimes it works in your favor. 65-31 with 7.5 to go. Wolf, a nice bean move, goes all the way in and scores. Ivy's got 9. 3 off her seasonal average. And we have 7:26 to go, which I presume will be a very quick 7:26. I think we're going to have a lot of fouls. Less whistles, the better. And Hyman now stops, pops left side. It's off the mark. Too hard. She's able to hustle and get it back. Nice drop pass. Basket good for Dutton. She gets her first basket of the game. That's just Hyman knowing when to follow a missed shot. 67-33. Nia Lear for Perez. Mariah kick out to Wolf. Wolf in the lane. Got fouled. Didn't call it. Got the basket. She's got 11. 67-35. Davis on the dribble. Both teams look to make subs coming up. Not sub sandwiches, but substitutions. Inside the lane, D.D. Davis. Teardrop, good. 16 for her. Well, I bet Tammy Reese wishes she'd had her back next year. Ivy Wolf, top of the key, over to Anissa Jones. Inside the lane, goes up for the shot. Magasa, I think, might have gotten a piece of that. It's knocked away from her, and it's off of Tenon Magasa. I wonder if she's talking French to the official. Ah, madame. Quel dommage. Quel dommage. I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you who these players are as they hit the court. I will tell you that Katie Ledden is a 6-foot freshman. She averages 1 point a game. She's in for the first time. She had 1,334 points at her New Jersey high school. I bet she gets some more playing time next year than this. I guess you got to like somebody when they have those type of high school credentials. But right now, she can't break the rotation. Well, she'll probably get about 6 minutes of playing time here. This ball's keyed in the corner to Perez. Shannon Wheeler now over to Bohannon, and she connects on a 2-point shot. Gives her 8 points. And it's 69-37 with 6 minutes to go. And there's one foul this period, and it's on Rhode Island. D.D. Davis on the dribble.
Davis will drive. Davis outside to Vital. Vital outside the three-point stripe with 15 to shoot. Vital nowhere to go. Uses a pick from Dutat. Vital with 8. Vital between the circles to Davis. Davis with 4. Davis is double-teamed. Davis will not get it off, and that will be a shot clock violation. Even though... No. They gave him...
She got it off.
Vital, I didn't think so. Wow.
It was close.
I mean, that's how this game's going. Vital hit a 3. I thought it was after the 30 seconds, but gives her 6 points. Ty Kozlovas back in at 72-37. Wheeler from the free throw line comes up short and a rebound to Davis. Front court Davis. Davis kick out. Here's Ledden. Open 3. Bang. Well, I said she scored 1,341 points in high school, or 1,334. Now we know why. She connects on that 3, and Dayton turns it over. Oh, I can't wait till the media timeout. Vital out of traffic. Davis in front of the Rhode Island bench. Open 3, air ball, and it comes into Lightbourne's hands.
Going back to that Ledden 3, coming off the bench, haven't played at all. Tough contested shot in the three-point, you know, in the corner. That's just a testament to her shooting. She's going to be a player.
Eve Deschent is a 5'11 freshman, and she averages 2 points a game. After the media timeout, which I presume we'll have, I presume we won't play less 4.5 minutes uninterrupted, she'll come in. Up off glass, no good. Too hard for Shannon Wheeler, who has not scored today. Rough day for her. She's not the only one. 4:25 to go. And while Rhode Island dribbles the ball around, Eve Deschent is from Putnam Valley High School in New York. Ledden, by the way, Rutgers Prep High School in Clark, New Jersey. They call it travel, and that fortunately gives us a break. 75-37 Rhode Island, 4:14 to go. We'll be back.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring UD women's basketball to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard about them during the games on radio. This year's underwriters are ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnicas Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Las Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-in Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Roederer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
So this is interesting. Remember I said Ledden can't get any playing time? Listen to Deschent's background. Senior year at her New York high school, averaged 24 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 steals. If that's not enough, all-time leading scorer at her high school with 2,267 points. And she can't play for this team. It's amazing. She had a game high this year, 9 points against St. Bonaventure. And yet she rides the bench.
That's impressive. You know you had a pretty good team if she's sitting the bench. And I've seen Ledden now for literally 60 seconds of a game, and I like her. She's gonna have a good career. I watched. So she turned the ball over the next possession, but her move was awesome, and she Euro-stepped it. She looks comfortable. Like I said, I've seen 60 seconds, but I would wager that she's going to be a good player for Rhode Island for the next few years.
We already talked about T.
Yeah.
Coming into this game, 183 career blocks. Number 2 in the conference this year in blocks behind Addie Budnick of Richmond. Again, fifth all-time at UD with 113 blocks. Last year, Rhode Island, 14 games, averaged 5 points a game. Had a high game this year of 17 points and 6 blocks against Sacred Heart. And she has a brother on the roster now. I follow the Billiken men, of course, being from St. Louis. He hasn't played, but McTennan Magasa does have a brother on the St. Louis men's basketball team.
Her being fifth in blocks in Dayton history, having only played 2 seasons that were shortened by injuries, and she was playing on very good teams, so her minutes were limited. That's an impressive number when you think about all the players that have come through Dayton, you know, 3 and 4-year players. It just tells you where she would be had she stayed the whole time, but, you know, with blocks, she's one of the best.
All right, getting ready to play. So, again, It comes down to George Washington. If George Washington loses to Loyola, and that game is underway now, George Washington loses, then the Flyers don't play Wednesday. They play Thursday at 5 o'clock against the same Rhode Island team.
Uh-oh.
If George Washington wins that game, that makes Dayton play Wednesday against St. Bonaventure, a team they beat earlier this year. That'd be Wednesday at 2:30. So we saw an air ball. So Dayton will either play Wednesday at 2:30 against St. Bonaventure. There's a miss. And a putback is good for Dayton. Dayton will either play Wednesday 2:30 against St. Bonaventure or Thursday at 5 o'clock against Rhode Island. Now, part of me wants them to play Wednesday against St. Bonaventure to get a win.
And to get away from this back-to-back.
Yeah, so...
Go George Washington.
So, you know, try to get you a score. That game probably is close to halftime. If you can dial up a score, if you could be so kind. Rhode Island turns it over. Now we're just into sloppy helter-skelter action. Dayton down 75-39, 3:14 to go. Game in which Dayton is plus two on turnovers on Rhode Island, 14-12. But that stat describes it, this margin of loss, as the shot is missed by Bohannon. I think Ty Kozlova, who's in the game, has picked up a foul. No, they're calling it on. Mariah Perez, that's her third. Both teams now with only one foul. 3 minutes to go in the game. Dayton will fall to 11-18. The Rams will improve to 18-13. And we might have a rematch of these two teams on Thursday. Right now, it is Katie Ledden. Hands it off to Deschent.
They actually don't play till 2.
Oh, till 2? Okay. I was wrong. That'll be one to follow later. And 5 seconds on the shot clock. It's underneath to Dutat. Dutat cleanly blocked by Wheeler. And it's a shot clock violation. I'm surprised that Eleanor Monick hasn't been put in yet. May as well. She was, of course, our star of the game against Miami University Hamilton. We had a fun interview with her after the game. She likes the word awesome. When you listen to a dentist, count how many times she says awesome. And this Flyer turnover. And speeding the other way is Vital. She almost over-dribbled the basketball, but now she brings it back out. And here's Deschent. Kamara underneath. Wide open basket for Vital, who shoots 50% from the two-point stripe. Rhode Island as a team is at 41%. And the score is now 77-39. We'll be getting off the air really quick after this game. Mariah Perez scores, gets her 8. Both she and Bohannon, two people to be honored after this game, have 8 points. As we are now into the front court. Driving is Vital. Here is a 3 for 11. She missed this one. And the ball's out of bounds to Rhode Island. So VCU is losing to George Mason with 6 minutes to go in the first half. Here comes Perez off the glass. Gets a hug from Tamika. George Mason 29, VCU 22, 6 minutes to go in the half. Both those coaches are going to be up for Coach of the Year in this conference, though. If I had a vote, I'd give it to Vanessa Blair Lewis of George Mason. Richmond is beating St. Bonaventure, not exactly as much as I thought they would be, but at the half they're winning 26-19. Then, of course, you have the score that says St. Louis 2, Davidson nothing. The forfeit. So, approaching a minute to go, a shot by Rhode Island is missed, and the ball's loose on the ground, and we'll have a jump ball, and alternating possession will go to the Flyers. Let's see if I can get your right state score.
Here comes Moniak.
It's about time. Glad to see that. And here comes Bohannon out. She will get a good hand. Sasha Cleveland will come in. All right, State's winning at Detroit 28-25 at the half. And Sasha Cleveland in the lineup. Averages 0.8 a game. Maniac averages 2 points a game. We'll see what happens here as we're under 50 seconds. Fiala inside, up off glass, overshot the goal. Comes to Rhode Island. 77-41. And here's 11. She traveled. 36 seconds to go. Cleveland will bring it to the front court. Cleveland will drive on Ledden, and she'll go to the free throw line because there's a foul. It's only the fourth foul of this period.
Pretty sure she's 100% on the season from the free throw line.
She is 2 of 2.
Yep. Her and Maniac are both 100%.
And Maniac also 2 of 2. So Sasha Cleveland at the line.
Pressure.
Free throw good. Rhode Island, I forget the stat, I didn't write it down. Rhode Island has quite an impressive record when they hold teams is under 50 or 60. And they'll just add to that today. Free throws missed. And Rhode Island can basically dribble this thing out, even though Dayton's pressuring in the backcourt. 77-42, so it's a 35-point spread. It was 13-0 right off the bat, Rhode Island. 16-6 at the end of the first. 39-20 at the half. They won the third quarter 20-9, and it's not gotten any better, and they will dribble it out for their 18th win of the year. May we have the buzzer, please? There it is. We're going to have the quickest wrap-up that you've ever heard in a moment. Well, the quickest wrap-up that you ever heard is going to happen right now. 18-13, Rhode Island won the fourth quarter. And Rhode Island had Phillips with six. Actually, she wasn't a factor today. She went 2 of 6 from the three-point stripe.
Yep.
Apparently she doesn't
take six
shots.
Assists, though.
Well, that helps. Let's see. Ledden, of course, had 3 points. T. Magasa had 8 points and 7 rebounds. Hyman had 12. Kamara had 6. Dutat had 4. Vital had 6. Ture had 9. Deschamps didn't score. DeBras had 7. Dede Davis would be our star of the game. He was 16. And Sophie Sen either didn't play or wasn't available to play, and I don't know why. Let's see. Yeah, 6 assists for Phillips. Rebounds, 8 Hyman, 9 Kamara, and that's all we need there. For the Flyers, Lightbourne had 4, Lear didn't score, Kozlova didn't score, Jones had 2, Smith had 2. How many rebounds did Smith have? Of course, Smith didn't really play in the second half, so she had 5 rebounds. Ivy Wolf led with 11, Wheeler didn't score, Cleveland had 1, Perez had 8, Bohannon had 8, Riss Miller had 3, Maniac didn't score, A. Fiala had 3, and leading rebounder was Mariah Perez with 6, and Dayton had a total of 6 assists in this game, 6 assists in this game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, before we go here, Dayton shot 23% from the field, Rhode Island shot 47%, Rhode Island was 31% from the 3-point stripe, 5 of 16, Dayton missed all 13 of theirs. From the free throw line, 67% both teams, 8 of 12 Rhode Island, 12 of 18 Dayton. Turnovers, this is a shocking stat when you lose a game like this. Dayton had 15, Rhode Island had 14. Points off turnovers, though, it's what you do with the turnovers that matter. Rhode Island had 22 points off turnovers, Dayton had 7. Rhode Island crushed Dayton on the boards, and boy, if they play again next Thursday, you got to make some quick adjustments. Total rebounds, 52-36 Rhode Island. Defensive rebounds, 35-19 Rhode Island. Offensive rebounds, both teams had 17. Second chance points, 16-13 Dayton. Bench points, 35-13 Rhode Island. I mean, they just keep bringing that talent off the bench. Points in the paint, 48-26 Rhode Island. Fast break points, 12-5 Rhode Island. Blocks, 5-3 Rhode Island. Steals, 8-3 Rhode Island. Assists, 20-6 Rhode Island. Dayton never had the lead. We were tied for a whopping 32 seconds. And I don't know what more to say.
Not much to say any more than that, Barney. 6 assists for an entire game. That's tough. You got to play better together. But still always fun. Always a good time.
Well, this ends our, not that we wanted to end this way, this ends our 21st year. Hard to believe. 21 years doing University of Dayton women's basketball. We've seen lots of ups, and we've seen stuff like today lately. We'll hope for better things next year.
Lauren Pallotta. We'll look forward to seeing her health. Should be a key, especially in the point guard position. We'll see of the three seniors being honored today, if any of them come back. And we'll see what talent that Tamika Williams-Jeter can add for next year, because they're going to need a transfusion, so to speak. All right, so we thank Norm Schrein. We thank Abby Fink. And we thank Dennis. Anything more you want to say?
No, this is. Sorry, I missed so much this year. You were great.
I don't know about that.
Next year should be. You know, I should be more consistent. So, but yeah, the team will have better days ahead. There's no question. Stay with them. This is a great place to play basketball. It's brighter days ahead.
All right, so we're going to go now, and 77-42, Rhode Island wins it in front of an impressive crowd today of 2,359. So we're going to wrap it up. We'll let Norm pack up, and we're going to watch this senior ceremony. And, of course, I hope most people are going to stick around for that. So for one last time, for everybody, we thank everybody for our 21st year. Barney Sentner saying good afternoon from UD Arena.
You've been listening to the Archers Tavern postgame program with Barney Sentner and Dennis Shaw.
You've been listening to Dayton Flyers women's basketball on Information Radio 1660. Thanks to Archers Tavern for underwriting today's game. You can hear a replay of today's game and any other home game from this year's season by visiting our website at radio1660.com. That's radio1660.com.